This is J. Lewis Mills, and you are about to be put on the level with J. Lewis Mills. Whether it's truth, controversy, good news, or bad. If it offends you, I'm sorry. If you agree, that's great. We talk about it all here because everything needs to be put on the level. Come in and join the conversation. I promise you'll be glad you did. Hello, hello, hello. How are you all doing this week? You are now on the level with J. Lewis Mills, and I thank you once again for joining me for what I think will be an hour of a bit of conversation. First of all, I hope you all had a great week. My week was very well. It's going a little slow because tomorrow is when I leave, going to Heidelberg, Germany. I will be there. I get in on the 18th and I leave out the 23rd. So I will be there the 18th through the 23rd. I have two speaking engagements that I was so blessed and humbled to get. I'm going to be speaking at one corporate event. And then the other event that I'll be speaking at is going to be kind of like an inspirational event for up and coming as well as current business leaders and business owners from all across Europe. It's just the workshop, I guess you want to call it, is going to be taking place in Heidelberg. So I am looking very forward to that. Hoping that I have a little bit of time to do a little sightseeing. I don't really know how much personal time I'll have, but you know, either way, I am still very blessed and humbled to be able to take a trip overseas and share my story and hope to inspire. Because honestly, at the end of the day, you know, we can want as much fortune and fame as we desire. But for me, it's just all in who I can inspire, who I can motivate, who I can help understand that, you know, the only person that loses when you give up on your dreams are you. Nobody that is telling you that you're not good enough, nobody that is telling you that you're not worthy, you know, those people, they actually win if you give up your dreams. So I am absolutely looking forward to going and talking about, you know, my life experience, things that I have experienced. And we're just going to go over and we're going to speak from, I'm just going to go over and speak from my heart. It's kind of funny. I had a bit of a conversation with one of the event organizers that I'm going to, and they asked me if I could send over the bullet points of things that I was going to talk about. And, you know, I had to help them understand that's really not something that I do. I usually speak from my heart, so I don't, you know, I don't have a set list of I'm going to talk about this, and then I'm going to talk about this, then I'm going to talk about this. I just really read the room, and I read the temperature and the pulse of the room, and I usually tend to go from there. So I am looking forward to having a great time. I am looking forward to just being able to inspire as well as, you know, take a trip out of the country and, you know, just see what other parts of the world are like these days. It's been quite a long time since I've been in Europe, so I am absolutely looking forward to going back. So, last week I kind of ran out of time because I speak in depth about one of the two topics that I didn't really know I was going to, you know, get that far into what I was saying. So I ran out of time. So there is something that I spoke on just briefly last week that I want to speak on again this week, because, you know, a particular situation happened within the last 7 days. Matter of fact, I think it was about 7 or 8 days ago that one of the things I'm going to speak about tonight happened. So I want to continue that conversation, as well as, you know, I give my opinion for a different perspective. I give my opinion so that you can hear what I have to say, and I'm not necessarily trying to change a person's thinking. I just like giving a different perspective of a certain topic or of a situation, and hope that it makes you see that differently. I will start by saying, you know, I am all for a good debate. I really am. When I used to use Facebook, there was a friend of mine from high school that haven't spoken to this guy, haven't seen him in over 20 years. And it seemed as though we always found ourselves, and this is on my personal Facebook page, it seemed as though we found ourselves in pretty long debates or discussions over Facebook about different things that he would post on his Facebook page, different things that I would post on my Facebook page. And because I know me and because I understand me, it's best for me to say this. Don't discount, don't miss the point that I am ever trying to make until I am finished talking. Don't ever assume that you know how I'm thinking about something. Don't ever assume that you don't have to hear my whole argument to understand it. The one mistake that is made when it comes to me in a discussion, you have to let me finish what I am saying for you to get a full understanding of what it is I am trying to say. So I just ask, before I start speaking tonight, you listen to my full argument and don't shut my argument out before I am finished. I think it is a bit fair for me to also say, you would be making a real mistake if you took my kindness for weakness. I spoke on it last week, and I got some private messages about it. Clearly, they didn't want to post publicly anymore because I said something about the things that they posted. But I think there are some people out there that, because I will not let them bait me into an argument, they feel like I am a weak type person, and that is absolutely not me. So I do feel like it's fair for me to say, do not take my kindness for weakness. Just because I don't get on my social media platforms and have arguments with people about something doesn't necessarily mean that I don't have the heart that you are thinking I don't have. I have told more than one person, your level of relevancy to me is not high enough for me to engage myself into an argument with you. And that's what I mean. And I wish a lot more people would feel that way. If you just let anybody rev your engine, you know, you're selling yourself short, in my opinion. So, you know, there is a saying, choose your battles carefully, and that's exactly what I do. Just because you get on my social media platforms and you start talking trash, which is just trolling trash, if you ask me. That doesn't mean that I'm going to engage you in a discussion, especially if I can tell by your first few messages all you're trying to do is bait me into an argument. So those are the two things that I ask. You just don't discount my argument until you hear my full argument. And please, please, please don't take my kindness for weakness. That would be an unfortunate situation for some if you continue doing that. So with that said, you know, the first thing I would like to speak about is, okay, so in January of this year, stand-up comedian Monique Hicks, I guess is her last name, took to social media asking for people to boycott Netflix for racial and gender bias. I understand that we are in the third week of May. I completely understand that. So you're probably asking, Jay Lewis, why are you talking about this now? This is so old. I'm talking about it for two reasons now. Number one, before I talk about anything, I have to do my full research on whatever topic it is that I am going to speak about. So I will usually take more time than most. I am, you know, pretty busy. There are things that I have going on in my life that do keep me occupied. So I don't always have time to research something, you know, to its full and complete, just sitting in at one setting. You know, sometimes it does take time. But for this topic about Monique, I took as long as I did because I wanted to, you know, I have friends that are either currently on shows that are produced by Netflix, or I have friends that have, you know, done a show somewhere else, and you know, just the seasons. You guys know how Netflix works. You know, you'll see a show come on a network, and then you can go to Netflix and you can see the past seasons. As well, you know, I do know a couple of people that work for Netflix in an administrative capacity. You know, so it did take me a little time. But more importantly, I am talking about this subject because, you know, Monique is still talking about it. And she is still of the belief that there is racial bias and gender bias going on with her not receiving the same amount of money as, and I'm just going to name the people that she named, Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle, and Amy Schumer. So because she is still talking about it, and because I feel like I've spoken to enough people that either have something to do with Netflix as a performer or a producer or a director, or have something to do with Netflix in an administrative way, I feel like I've gathered enough information in order to give my opinion on this. Let me first start by saying, you know, Monique is a stand-up comedian. She is an actress. She did win an Oscar for her role. I think her name was Deborah Lee Johnson, or I don't remember what her name was in Precious, but she did win an Oscar for Precious. I do believe she deserved to win an Oscar for her role in Precious. It really doesn't matter. However, I'm going to say it anyway, just for argument's sake. I think Monique is a much better actress than she is stand-up comedian. But, you know, everybody has their own opinions. So when it came to Netflix offering her $50,000 for a special, you know, what people outside of this industry have to understand is, you know, it's not necessarily what you have done in the past. More so and more often when it comes to putting a show together or, you know, putting a special together for a network or for a studio, what matters is how relevant you are. Dave Chappelle has kept himself relevant. Dave Chappelle had one of the hottest shows on television when he had the Dave Chappelle Show. You can find yourself in places where people are talking about the Dave Chappelle Show, and they talk about what skits were their favorite, their most favorite. You know, I hear a lot of people say the one that he did when he was doing Prince playing basketball, the one that he did when he was Rick James, the one that he did, which is my personal favorite, the skit that he did when he was the blind Southern guy that didn't know he was black and he was a racist. You know, that was my favorite. You know, Chris Rock has kept himself relevant. And you know, when you want to put yourself up against the Dave Chappelle's of the comedy world, the Chris Rock's of the comedy world, we'll get to Amy Schumer in a minute. But when you want to put yourself up against the Chris Rock's and the Dave Chappelle's, you have to understand these guys are selling out arenas. You know, these guys, I don't remember. I was told, I just don't remember if it was Chris Rock or if it was Dave Chappelle. But one of the two of them, they sold out like 1,500 straight shows before getting their deal offered. And, you know, if Monique asked the question, what about my resume of work? And Netflix is going to say, well, it's not about a resume. And then Monique asks, well, why did you go back and give Amy Schumer $2 million more? And why are you paying her the way that you are paying her? And they say, well, you know, she's sold out Madison Square Garden twice as well. She has a hit movie coming out. I can 100%, she had a hot movie coming out this summer. I can 100% understand how someone can take that as being her resume. But saying that Amy Schumer has sold out Madison Square Garden twice and she has a hot movie coming out, sure, again, you can say that that's speaking to her resume, but more so, I believe that is speaking to her relevancy. Go back and do the research for yourself, but I believe only maybe 5 comics have sold out Madison Square Garden. If I have that wrong, you know, again, I'm live right now, so you can call me at 1-888-429-5471, 1-888-429-5471, and let me know. But I want to speak more so to the comment of racial bias and gender bias. I want to speak to that because I feel like if you feel you have a good argument, fine. Speak your piece. Do what you have to do. Get your word out there however you need to. But when you want to play a gender card or a race card, you have to kind of be careful because that's going to discredit the good that you are coming out and trying to say. And what I mean by that is this. If you go to Netflix and you see the level of diversity that is on Netflix, not only when it speaks to ethnicity, but when it does speak to gender, I don't believe, and from everyone I have spoken to, from all of the internet research that I did, what I do base my opinion more so on people that I spoke to versus what I read on the internet. There may have been a Monique bias, but it's hard for me to see when I see the shows like Orange is the New Black, when I see shows like what's the new show that came out not too long ago? She's Gotta Have It. When I see other shows where black females are at the forefront, when I see films, original films, where not only black females but black males are at the forefront. They're some of the lead characters. When I see a Netflix original series spun off of a series and the main character is a black man, you know, it's hard for me to accept the fact that Netflix has any racial bias or gender bias. And let me just say this also. I don't know when it was, but Netflix offered Wanda Sykes $250,000 to do a special. Now, yes, that is a far cry from the $13 million that Amy Schumer got and the $20 million that Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock received. But it's more than the $50,000 that Monique was offered. So when you want to bring race into a situation, just because it's so delicate, when you want to bring gender into a conversation, you really have to be careful when you do that. Because if you bring it into the conversation and it is not relevant within the context of that conversation you're having, then in my opinion, it is going to discredit most any and everything that you have to say. Do I believe Monique deserved $50,000? No. They probably could have and probably should have offered her more. Do I think Monique deserved the $13 million that Amy Schumer negotiated? Do I think Monique deserves the $11 million that was first offered to Amy Schumer? No, I do not. I don't. And I, in doing my research, as well as, you know, I remember when it first came out on social media, hearing Monique say she is the most decorated comic out there. Now, that's what she said. She said, I am the most decorated stand-up comedian. I want to say she said out now. I don't remember if she said to date. But either way you want to look at that, if she's trying to say she's the most decorated stand-up comedian ever, she's absolutely wrong. If she's trying to say, if she did in fact say, I am the most decorated stand-up comedian out right now, again, she is very wrong. And that's where I think the problem comes in. Monique thinks she's bigger than she really is, which, look, you're supposed to think, in this business, you're supposed to think you're the greatest doing it. If you don't think you are the greatest doing it, then there's something wrong with you. But along with that thought pattern comes a level of humility. I don't know if Monique is saying she's the most decorated because she won an Oscar, because if that's the case, what about Jamie Foxx? Jamie Foxx won an Oscar for an acting role that he did, which had nothing to do with stand-up comedy. Just like Monique won an Oscar for an acting role that had nothing to do with stand-up comedy. So I would like to know what it is that Monique did in order to make herself a self-proclaimed most decorated. Surely Monique can't think or say that she has sold out more venues than any other stand-up comedian, because that's not true. Surely Monique cannot say that she generates the largest audience for a stand-up show, because that's not true. And surely Monique cannot say she has sold out consistently some of the biggest venues in the United States or around the world, like some of the top comedians can. So I don't know what that was really supposed to mean whenever she was taken to task about why she thinks she needs to be paid the same. She takes that question offensively, as if, oh, well, you're talking to Monique. You should already know the answer to that question. And if the question needs to be asked, in my mind, then the answer isn't as clear as you may think it is. In doing my research, I started at YouTube, and I just put Monique gender bias, racial bias in the search engine. And I came across an interview that Monique did with a radio show out of New York. It's called The Breakfast Club, or The Breakfast Show, one of the two. And there is a gentleman on there. His radio name is Charlemagne the God. And, you know, on his show, he gives what is, well, I think it's a, I don't know if it has to be daily. He gives, you know, what's called the donkey of the day. So Monique got a little upset, or a lot upset, because Charlemagne gave her donkey of the day because of her saying that she wanted people to boycott Netflix and the whole racial bias, the whole gender bias. And he said that he did not believe she deserved the same money as any of the three stand-up comedians, being Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle, or Amy Schumer, that she specifically named. During this conversation, I can remember her husband, Sidney Hicks, was in the conversation on the telephone. And I can remember more than once Charlemagne asked point blank, why do you believe you need the same money as Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle, Amy Schumer? And when he asked her that question, she took it offensively. I have to say this as well. When I was listening to this particular conversation that Monique had with Charlemagne, her level of passive aggressive was absolutely sickening to me. It was. Her level of not being able to have a conversation. Look, if you feel like you have been wronged, then you go to whoever it is that wronged you and you state your case. You don't go in that person's face and start calling them by the wrong name or telling them, saying that, oh, they're just doing something extra. That's not really their name. Asking about their, you know, where is your mother from? Where is your father? Where's your grandmother from? I know if I were to talk to them, they wouldn't agree that I'm Donkey of the Day. You know, when you get into the situation, when you get into a verbal back and forth like that, in my opinion, you are discrediting yourself. So Charlemagne asked her more than once, why do you think you deserve this money? Monique nor her husband could give a straight answer why you think you deserve this money. My question would be, why does Monique even consider herself a legend in the stand-up community world? You know, I feel, you know, we live in a society where we crown people, we honor people, we give too much credit to certain situations. This show tonight is not about any sports Hall of Fame, but I believe there are people that have made it within the last 20 years. There are people that have made it into sports Hall of Fames that don't even deserve to be there. It's just turned into a popularity contest. So I don't even understand why it is Monique feels she is a legend in the stand-up comedy world. Okay. You can say, you can call yourself a stand-up comedian for God knows how many years. I remember the first time I saw Monique was probably maybe 89, 90, somewhere in the very late 80s to the early 90s. Are you saying that you are a legend because you've been doing this for that long? Because people that have been doing this for a shorter time than you have better numbers than you. So are they a legend? What is it that makes you a legend? Is it the fact that you were chosen as what some studio or some film producer wanted to name you a queen of comedy? You know, because if that's the case, sorry, but there's a few names on that list that I didn't see. You know, I didn't see Whoopi Goldberg's name on that list. Why isn't Whoopi Goldberg considered a queen of comedy? Why is that? Whoopi Goldberg has, in my opinion, has done more in and for the stand-up community stand-up comedian community than Monique has? How come Whoopi isn't considered a queen of comedy? I know they had four. I believe it was some more. It was Miss Laura. It was, I think, Adele Givens and Monique. I believe that's who the four queens of comedy were. Where was Cheryl Underwood in this whole situation? Why didn't Cheryl Underwood get any respect? So what the point that I'm trying to make is, just because an isolated entity, being whatever film production company did that show, or I don't even remember if it was just on cable, the Queens of Comedy, whoever put that together, just because they believe you are a queen of comedy, that doesn't mean that you need to get the same money as other stand-up comedians. And you notice I didn't even put this in the context of male comedians versus female comedians. I understand I work in a business where the top females don't make what the top males get. That's absolutely wrong, and that should absolutely change. So I'm not saying that it's right. But if you go and sell out Madison Square Garden more than once, like another stand-up comedian did, if you have a what at the time was seen as a blockbuster film, nobody knew what Snatch was going to do. It was just, so I guess I can say that Netflix was wrong for even mentioning that to Monique. They could have just stopped with she has sold out Madison Square Garden twice. But what matters is the level of relevant that you have. Because when it comes to the streaming platforms like the Netflix, the Crackle, the Hulu, the Vudu, whatever streaming, the Apple TV, whatever streaming service you use, it's all about how many people are going to watch your special. How many people are going to watch your let's take Netflix. How many people are going to watch your Netflix original movie? How many people are going to watch your Netflix original TV show? So I think it was very wrong, very, very wrong, to bring racial bias into this, as well as gender bias, because what you're doing when you do that, you are knocking down the level of diversity that's already there. You are knocking down the black women, the black men, the Latino women, the Latino men, whatever ethnicity an actor, actress, stand-up comedian is, you are knocking down the work that they are doing either currently now or formerly on the streaming platform of Netflix. You are one isolated incident. You can't say that that's gender bias. You are one person. You cannot say that that's racial bias. I invite anybody to go to Netflix and see how many shows, how many movies, how many stand-up specials any person with ethnicity has, any person of the female gender has. And then you come back to me and you tell me that you see racial bias and you see gender bias just because Netflix offered something to someone that's not as relevant as the three people that she chose to name. And when you do come to me and you let me know that, you also let me know why Monique is supposed to be considered a legend in stand-up comedy. And after you're done with that, you can help me understand how it is Monique is the most decorated stand-up comedian that's out there right now. I am very open to the conversation from anyone that can tell me why that is. You know, you might have to sit and think about how do you conduct yourself when you are working? How do you conduct yourself when you are on set? I have heard Monique more than once completely trash Lee Daniels, Oprah Winfrey, and Tyler Perry. Again, you are free to say whatever it is you want to, but you are trying to knock down three black people that had to work, that had to scratch, that had to sacrifice just like you did to get to where they are today. And for you to try and knock them down because you feel like you were disrespected, that's not right. You are taking their journey 100% for granted. You are basically saying the hard work that they did in order to build the reputation as well as the body of work that all three have means nothing. Now, let me take that one step further. Again, for the people that listen to my show that are not in film or that are not in television, if you or your team cannot negotiate a better contract than what you signed at the beginning of a film, that is nobody else's business but yours and your team. If I sign on and I am one of the main characters in a film, I am already knowing that I have to go and I have to promote this film, especially if I'm one of the title characters. If I were to think, you know, y'all just paid me for being on set. Y'all didn't pay me in order to go and help promote the film. Why are you doing the film in the first place then? And if you're not happy with it, you have one of two options. Either A, fire your management, fire your agent, fire whoever negotiated your contract, or B, have a sit-down conversation with them and say, you know what, I have no choice but to take this one on the chin because I have already signed my contract, but you really need to step your game up as far as what you negotiate for me. You can't negotiate a contract and then when you get asked to go somewhere, oh, well, you know, I need extra money for that. Any real professional in this business knows that if you're not going to accept what you are being offered, ask for something more. That's what you do. You don't come out and say, this person is this, this person is that, this person is the other. And you for sure don't get on a stage and say, if I had a dick, I'd tell you to suck it. Just because you want to get, some type of appreciation from the crowd. Because let me tell you like this. If you are a person that wants to get the appreciation or that wants to get a reaction in your favor from a crowd by saying some bullshit, just understand what it is you're doing. Just understand. Okay, so one of the best pieces of advice that one of my castmates when I was doing Heartbeat, I walked up to him when we were having a little bit of a break on set, and I said to him, you know, you've been doing this a lot longer than me. What advice can you tell me as an up-and-coming actor? And he said, he gave me a few pieces. Some of them were pretty funny, but the most important one that he gave me was, watch how you conduct yourself on set, because people will make telephone calls about you. That's just the business I work in. People will make, if you make an ass out of yourself on one TV show and you're up for another one, it's not foreign for the producers of the new show to contact, especially if they knew somebody, to contact someone they knew off of your previous show or your previous film and say, hey, we're looking to hire so-and-so for a reoccurring, for a series regular, for a series lead. We're looking at them being our main actor, our main actress. What can you tell us about them? So if you have a reputation of someone that's difficult to work with, you're basically shooting yourself in the foot. More than one person has said Monique was difficult to work with. More than one person has said Monique turned into a bit of a diva. Whether that's true or false, I don't know. I've never worked with her before. But if you don't have an understanding of what you really seriously need to do, what your role is when you're in the title role of a film, it has to be understood that you are going to have to go and you are going to have to promote the film. You are going to have to go out and promote the TV show if it's a television show. And if you look at your contract and there's nothing to be said about it in your contract, open your mouth and ask the question, okay, so this $50,000, does this include me going to promote the film after we're done shooting? And if the answer is yes, at that moment, okay, I'm going to need a little something more than just $50,000. If you don't ask those questions, why are you going to leave it to somebody else? If it's not important enough for you to get that straightened out, why is it important enough for anybody else to get that straightened out? So maybe the reason Netflix offered Monique the $50,000 that they did was because she wasn't as relevant as the other stand-ups that they offered the $13 million or $20 million to. Maybe it was because nobody had ever said, and whether they said it or not, I don't know. I've never heard any stories about Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle, or Amy Schumer being difficult to work with. That matters to people. When you have to be around somebody for anywhere from 12, 14, 16, 18 hours a day, if that person is difficult to work with, you really don't want them around. You really don't want them around. So I just had to give my bit of an opinion about this whole situation, because I think it's wrong that it's happened this way. I think that there was a much better way to do this instead of going out and asking people to boycott Netflix. Why would you even do that? And why do you think enough people would do that to even make a difference? Why do you think enough people are going to say, you know what? Netflix only offered Monique $50,000, so that's it. I'm done with Netflix. That just sounds like a legend in her own mind to me. Someone that would do something like that, legend in their own mind. And that's just my opinion. Now, the other topic I wanted to talk about that I said I spoke about briefly last week, I'm starting to see a lot more people that are coming out on social media. You know, first it was taking a real actor or actress, or taking a real television show, replacing it with one of these bullshit reality TV shows. And yes, I just said that. Because these reality TV shows are almost just as scripted, just with bad acting, because you don't have real actors. But the majority of these reality TV shows are scripted shows. If you're really going to tell me that when these people go out to the restaurants they go to, when these people go out to the shops and the stores that they go to, they're just able to walk into a store, and number one, they're just able to walk into a store without anybody saying anything to them about bringing cameras into the store, number one. Number two, they can just walk into a store, or they can just walk into a house, and there's already a camera from the point of view of being inside the store? How is that possible? If this is not a made-up situation, if this is not a staged situation for you to show up at this store, for you to show up at this barbershop, for you to show up at this restaurant, for you to show up at this event, if you're going to try and tell me that this shit is not staged, then, hey, they got you. They got you. Hell, there's been more than one time I've been out at a place where TMZ will actually stalk to see who's there. And I've seen people walking out of an event, or walking out of a restaurant, or walking out of a bar. And TMZ comes up with their cameras asking questions. And then after it's over, you know what? You kind of startled me, so let's do that again. I'm going to go back in, and I'm going to come out, and you ask me the same question, but I'm just going to be more prepared. I've seen it happen. And I've seen it happen more than once. So I say that's where the start of the demise came, was these bullshit reality TV shows. But now it's turning to all you have to do is make a fool out of yourself on social media and you can garner millions of followers. But there's something that goes along with that too. You have to understand also that a lot of these social media stars, and that's what they're calling them, social media stars, they pay for followers. They pay for likes. They pay for retweets. They pay for, well, that's the same as followers. There are services that people can join. And every time you post something, you will get so many likes. Every day you will have so many followers per day. And as long as you keep up your monthly subscription, your numbers will continue to grow. So number one, that's a real thing. But number two, when you see people that are just acting a straight up fool, and you actually buy into it, that's what I'm asking you to stop. This is my example. If you go to my Instagram page, you will see, you know, a few times I posted this girl. Her name is Victoria Waldrip. I guess her Instagram name or her social media name is something like Wovicky, I think. You know, if you go and find her on Instagram or YouTube, or I don't know where else she is, but, you know, she's yelling to the top of her lungs about how she a billionaire. And she's talking with one of the worst black scents I have ever heard in my entire life. This chick is some chick from North Carolina. So I get it. Yeah, she does have a southern twang. And she should, because she's from North Carolina. But to sound how she sounds, it's disgraceful. But you go and you watch her videos, how she's screaming, I just bought me a helicopter. I just bought my second helicopter. Hell, there's some 9-year-old girl that's on, you go to my Instagram page also. She has on what looks like the fucking Mr. T starter kit around her neck, talking about, yeah, I paid $350,000 for this chain. Really? I bought me this Lamborghini. I bought me this Mercedes-Benz. Okay, well, the shit just came out. Your mom got fired from her job because she was using homes in Canada for you to film these videos at, and you're trying to tell people that you're in Beverly Hills. You're trying to tell people that you're in LA. So how does that work? There's a video on my Instagram where this little chick is getting out of the car talking about how she spent 200 racks on this bitch. I got the keys to this bitch. There was one video that I saw where she, I don't remember, I think she pulled a Bentley into a parking space in a secured garage. She probably drove it maybe 10 feet, and she gets out and she starts kicking the door, talking about, yeah, I got enough money, I can just get this fixed, this is my car, you know, all this other kind of stuff. So about a week ago, this Wovicky chick and two, seriously, of the most irrelevant dudes that I have ever seen on social media come out and they start talking about Snoop Dogg. Fuck you, Snoop, with your old ass, looking like an old chihuahua. First of all, Snoop don't look anything like a chihuahua. If you want to say he looks like any kind of a dog, he looks like a Doberman pincher. And I'm not just saying that because of his music video. I'm saying, dude looks like a Doberman pincher if you ask me. Where you get chihuahua, I have the slightest idea. But fuck you, Snoop. Fuck you and your old ass. Fuck you and your old ass. Just talking mad shit about Snoop Dogg. Like she usually does. Yelling, screaming, acting like she's just all about it. But then some real L.A. Crips got in her ear. Some real L.A. Crips told her, not even going to happen. You better apologize. So I'll just leave it to you all to go to Instagram and to go to YouTube, and you see it was a total of three of them, and I saw apologies from this Vicky chick, and I saw apologies from one of the black dudes that was on there. If you want to say, or with me saying that they were shook, is an understatement. These people were scared shitless. And I say that to bring up this point. You think that you are invincible because the person you're talking about isn't right there in your face. So you can say whatever it is you want to say. But when somebody that knows that person, or even that person themselves, catches wind of it, and then they check you and you bow down, you have just exposed yourself, in my opinion. Now, in her apology, her apology says, if anything I said was offensive to anybody, I'm sorry. I'm not really like that. Yes, you are. Yes, you absolutely are. I didn't mean to start nothing with nobody. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. If you're Billy Badass to get out and call somebody out, you need to be Billy Badass to deal with it and take the repercussions of whatever it is that's going on. You can't sit up being saying that you all about it, you some kind of gangster, you can whoop anybody's ass, anybody got a problem with you, come face to face. Trust me when I say, there are some people you just don't want to see. There are some people you just don't want to see because you live in your own bubble and you stay within your own bubble. But when somebody snatches you by your neck outside of your bubble, you won't be able to defend yourself like your Billy Badass wannabe words are saying on your social media. So I don't know if this commentary that I'm giving is for people that might want to walk in this girl's footsteps and think that you can come out saying some silly shit. Or I don't know if this part of my commentary is for people to help you understand, you know, you can't follow fakeness. You follow fakeness, that says a lot about you. You buy into fakeness, that says a lot about you. And that's what I see a lot of people doing. I saw a video on social media where this girl, Vicky, was at what looked like a high school basketball game. And this girl comes out of the crowd. Some other girl comes out of the crowd just boohooing tears like somebody just told her her mama died. Oh, my God, I love you. I love you so much. I can't believe I met you. What? This is the woman this is the girl that gets on social media calling girls all kind of bitches, calling broke people broke-ass bastards, flaunting and flossing all kind of bullshit-ass money, lying, saying she's a billionaire. And this is who you look up to? This is who you want to be like? This is who you hold in a high regard? Why? For what? See, these people can talk, like I said, these people can talk all Billy Badass until they get checked by the right or wrong, however you want to see it, person. And then they want to splash all kind of apologies. That apology that this girl did hit me no different than Kathy Griffin's apology. Hit me no different than, what's that cook's name? The one from Louisiana that kept using the N-word. Y'all know who I'm talking about. The woman that likes to cook with butter. I don't even remember her name. But it's like their apologies. They mean nothing. You're only doing it trying to make people feel like you're sorry for what you did. And if you don't believe me, go back to this Vicky person. Go back and look at the videos that she posted after this apology when she's supposed to be all humble and I didn't realize how my voice affects people and I didn't realize that so many people were listening to what I had to say. That's bullshit. You just said that so that you can keep from getting the ass whooping on sight when some certain people see you. And so did your little homeboys that was talking about Snoop. Now, I happen to be a Snoop Dogg fan. I'm not a Crip. I would have done absolutely nothing had I seen these people out and about somewhere in Los Angeles. But there's some people that would have done something if they would have seen these people walking around Los Angeles. So now they're scared. Oh, you know, we just some young social media people. We don't know what we be saying. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And bullshit, and I call bullshit if you want to try and say that you didn't know what you were saying, because you know you knew what you were saying. You got in front of a camera and you said, fuck you, Snoop Dogg, with your old ass. I'll piss in your girl's face is exactly what you said. But you want to come back later after somebody gets in your ear and let you know on site? You gonna get some? Oh, well, you know, we just social media people. We young. We don't really understand. Fuck the young. Fuck that. I will never take that as an excuse. Oh, well, we're young. We don't understand what we're doing. Well, if you don't understand what you're doing, stay the fuck from in front of a camera. That's what you do. But if you gon', like I said earlier, if you gon' try and be all Mr. Billy Badass or Miss Billy Badass, you need to take what's coming to you. And I have a pretty good feeling that, you know, my listeners aren't necessarily some of the listeners or some of the people that buy into this. But then again, I have to say also, even to make comments on these people's posts, it's feeding into it as well. So I say just ignore it. Wow. Well, I went 6 minutes over tonight. My apologies for that. I just really, you know, had to get my point across. I could have said a lot more, but I did realize I was over time. Next week, I will have a guest. We are going to talk about love. We are going to talk about relationships. We are going to talk about sex within relationships. I'm going to have an author of a few books. I'll, you know, get more into that while the week is going. I'll start advertising on my social media about it. You can just Google my name, J. Lewis Mills, capital J, capital L, lowercase O-U-I-S, last name Mills, M-I-L-L-S. I think my Twitter is at J. Lewis Mills. My Instagram is at J. Lewis Mills. My Snapchat is jlewis.mills. You can just put me in a search engine on Facebook. I don't really use Facebook privately anymore because there's just too much bullshit going on. Even if they do have these new commercials out talking about how they're going to redo their whole system, basically, and they want to bring people back, I'm just really not feeling Facebook. But I do have a fan page that I share everything that's on Instagram and Twitter. And you just go to Facebook and just put in my name and you should see it. If you're not following me already, I invite you to follow my social medias. I look forward to this coming week, looking forward to my trip tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to being with you all again next week. So if we have nothing else to discuss, which we don't, it is now time for me to wish you all a great week. Look out for each other, love your loved ones, but also love yourself. Know your own worth. Thank you. We are out. And it's... Are you inspired? Can I inspire you more? Come join me every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. on Station 2 here at BBS Radio. Let's get inspired together. Come join me. You'll be glad you did.